This is Mythical.
Is your child struggling with a specific subject or need help with homework? Are they asking questions that you're not sure you can fully answer? IXL Learning is an online learning program for kids. It covers math, language arts, science, and social studies. IXL is designed. This program will improve your kids' grades. Studies done in almost every state in the country, the kids who had IXL are consistently doing better. Powered by advanced algorithms, IXL gives the right help to each kid no matter the age or personality. And it doesn't have to eat up all your time. One subscription gets you everything for all the kids in your home, pre-K to 12th grade. So don't miss out. 1 in 4 students in the U.S. are learning with IXL. IXL is used in 95 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXL.com/audio. Visit IXL.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
A dash of heated debate, a pinch of irreverent personality, a skosh of Nicole yelling at me. But the real secret ingredient to this podcast? Well, it's love. Which begs the question, is love really an ingredient? This is A Hot Dog is a Sandwich.
Ketchup is a smoothie.
Yeah, I put ice in my cereal, so what?
That makes no sense.
A hot dog is a sandwich.
A hot dog is a sandwich.
What? Welcome to our podcast, A Hot Dog is a Sandwich, the show where we break down the world's biggest food debates. I'm your host, Josh Scherer.
And I'm your host, Nicole Anaiti.
And Nicole, today we're taking on a topic that is near and dear to all of our hearts. We're taking on the topic of love. Do you believe that romantic love and sexual love are one and the same, or can they be separated?
They can definitely be separated.
Right, that's what I'm saying.
Hundo P.
It's like, you can have... Okay, no, we're talking about... Sorry, Rhett and Link just did the whole podcast series about sex, and I've been listening to it a lot.
What did you learn?
What?
What did you learn?
I learned that they haven't experimented with each other.
They have not?
They have not. That was their...
Missed opportunity.
My thoughts exactly. So, today we're talking about the idea of love in cooking, what it means to transmit love into cooking.
Yeah.
Is love an ingredient? Because it is the most common secret ingredient in everybody's recipes, right?
Yeah.
The secret ingredient to my muffins is love. It's like, nah, it's cream of tartar. It helps you get a bigger muffin top when it hits a height. It's cream of tartar, not love. That's a chemical. That's like tartaric acid in there, not
correct.
Love.
Correct. Okay.
But what do you think it means to show either show love through cooking or to put love as an ingredient into your cooking?
There is so many definitions of love that it's hard to necessarily explain in one sentence, like a thesis. I don't think there's like a thesis statement to this podcast.
No, sometimes it's two friends who host a YouTube channel exploring each other's bodies.
Excuse me?
What?
That was
they started it. If they can say it on their podcast, we can talk about it on ours. All right? You know, different audience and demos. But...
Are we in trouble, Maggie? Okay. Well, again, love just has so many different definitions. I think it's a case-by-case basis of what love means to you, what love means to me, what love means to anybody. But whenever people say they put love in their food or love is an ingredient, I think that means dedication.
Mm-hmm.
I think that means time. I think that means an experience that with your food. People say, like, oh, it's like the best quality ingredients. That's not true. I don't agree with it. People are like, oh, I use like this salt. I use this tomato. I use this basil. Like, I don't think that's what love is. I don't think love equals great ingredients. I think love is taking the time and appreciation of what you have and presenting it in a very just honest way.
Yeah.
I think that's what it
is. Like, there's a way to take a dollar steak from Walmart and put enough love into that to make it into something that will bring somebody more joy than, say, a more expensive ingredient.
Yeah.
In a way.
Some people will say that's maybe sous vide-ing it. Some people maybe say that's putting a bunch of cool spices on it.
Tenderizer.
Yeah. Some people
it's
might
good
say
sometimes.
Some people might say that's what love is. But I do think it's time and preparation is what it means to me, at least.
Which is to say sacrifice.
Sacrifice.
Like, not to get, this is going to go down a deep rabbit hole.
No, it's fine.
But that's what you do when you put extra time into your cooking, right? It's the opportunity cost of I could be playing video games. I could be
watching football.
Yeah, doom scrolling through Twitter.
Yeah, so true.
Whatever, but instead you're taking that extra time to put that into a dish to bring somebody else joy.
Correct.
And to me, that's the sacrifice in a way.
Yeah, sure.
And I think that's one of the essences of love in a way.
Love in general.
Your willingness to sacrifice.
Well, sacrifice and compromise are like one in the same, right?
They're cousins. They're kissing cousins. They love to kiss.
Kissing cousins?
They're kissing cousins. You never heard that term? Wait. Hold on. That's a term, right? What does that mean, though? Because
never heard of the
that's
term.
That's like a crime. That's like a relative known... Well, it's not a romantic kiss. The term kissing cousins doesn't mean romantic kiss.
What does it mean?
Oh, this podcast is off to a weird start, Nicole.
I guess.
It is a relative known well enough to be greeted with a kiss.
Oh.
Which
so
is
all of my family members.
I was gonna say that's culturally dependent, you know.
Yeah.
My family's South African, everybody kisses on the cheek.
Yeah,
like,
we kiss
you know,
on
that
the
whole
cheek
thing.
Too. Yeah.
Well, anyways, point is sacrifice, compromise, love, all those things are into it. Do you like would you say you cook with love?
Often.
And you cook often for your husband?
Time. I do.
Do you
I
cook with love for him more or
I
less?
I try to all the time. But also, it's one of those situations where it's like, I cook all the time anyways. And it's like, do I cook at home now? And then do I transmit the same energy in the food that I do for a show and the food that I create for my romantic partner? It's like, where's the line? Like, I there's different energies when I cook. I do agree with that.
Mm-hmm.
Like I say all the time, intent matters. I want this food to be good for the bosses that sign my checks every day.
Yeah.
And then I also want the food to be good for my husband, but I also don't want him to die of coronary heart disease.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I don't want to put too much butter in it. But also he like has his dietary restrictions and like he always says it's good, but like sometimes it's just like not. Like I've come to terms with that.
What do you mean
too.
Sometimes it's not? Like do you think he lies to you? Do you think he butters your bread just to butter your bread?
Of course. Well, that's what partners do. Sometimes you give like a little white lies to like keep each other.
But would you like intentionally serve him a bad dish that you knew like, hey, this is messed up. I'm not going to take the extra time to try and figure it out, fix it,
pivot it. I haven't done
it.
That yet.
Yeah.
I mean, like I've done things where I like overcooked a steak before and like there's nothing I can do at that point.
I mean, I've done the same thing.
There's
and then what I
do
is I hack it up. I find like, you know, a jar of salsa in the fridge. Yeah. I saute up some like peppers and whatever else I got. And then you kind of pivot that dish to something else.
No, I still like present it as is. And I'm just really apologetic. And the whole time I'm eating it, I'm like, I'm sorry. Is it okay? I'm sorry. Are you going to be okay with this? I'm sorry. So that's what I do.
I cook dinner for Julia. I mean, almost every night.
That's nice of you.
Like pretty much every single weeknight, I cook dinner.
That's really
and
nice of you.
On Sundays, depending on how hungover I am, I will do like a fair amount of meal prep and I'll, you know, get sauces, marinades. Like literally this Sunday, I marinated like 4 pounds of chicken that I'm gonna go out and grill. I made like a slaw, you know, doing a kind of little classic barbecue chicken.
Nice.
Also, you and I had a conversation recently that when we cook in our own homes. And this is not a sponsor, but we make what we called Hello Fresh ass meals.
Oh, all the time.
Yeah,
we
it's
have
like
to.
I feel like every weeknight meal that I cook is like a Hello Fresh ass meal. It's like this is my spicy turkey bulgogi sliders on whole wheat rolls. You know, it's like it's healthy, it's flavorful.
It has to be healthy on the healthier side, I guess.
Yeah, but still like creative and has some you know some oomph
unique,
to it.
Yeah, unique flavor combinations. Yeah.
But when I cook for Julia, you've seen me cook for myself in the kitchen.
For you.
Do you remember what I told you I'm going to make after this podcast?
No.
We have boneless, skinless chicken breast, and we have cabbage, and I'm going to put both of those in a pan, and I'm going to bash it up, I'm going to pour some salsa and yogurt on it, and I'm going to eat it with a spoon.
That's
and when
fine.
I'm left to my own devices, like before I was in a relationship, that's like how I would eat a lot of nights. It's like it's a really tasty mush of food, but it's like, look, I have a lot of stuff to do. I just need nutrients and flavor inside of me.
Yeah.
But then now I'm like going out of my
Is
way
that
to like—
love?
I think that's love. It's like sacrificing that part. Because that's what I sacrifice. When I put love into my food, to me, that means I'm taking the extra time to like yesterday, I made perfect matchstick cuts on the apples to go into this lovely little champagne vinegar slaw with whole mustard seeds and the vinaigrette. So yummy. But you know what I mean? It's little stuff like that I would never do if I'm just eating myself. And it's not just to like impress somebody, right? It's to show them that like, hey, this is something you do a lot of things for me. This is the thing I can do for you is give you matchstick cuts.
But that's what I'm asking you. Is you eating the chicken, salsa, yogurt, cabbage, is that love for you?
So I'm, that's like self-love.
That's what I'm asking you. Is that considered, do you put love into that meal?
I don't know. I think I think it's self-compassion in a way.
Okay.
Because for me, what the chicken, yogurt, cabbage meal is to me, that's me saving my energies for somebody else.
Okay.
You know, that's what it is. It's like, I don't want to like burn out cooking for myself because I can like save that energy. Nicole, our bodies are like batteries. We only have, I mean, I feel like in a way, right? You only have so much emotional energy, so much physical time to give.
That's very true.
In terms of cooking, like you said, we're cooking all the time here. We're constantly thinking about food. Sometimes for me, if I'm cooking for myself, it's so lovely to turn my brain off and just be like, this is protein. This is flavor that my body responds well to.
Mm-hmm.
This has dietary fiber in it. I'm going to just shloop it into my mouth.
Yeah.
And so for me, that's me saving up my potential love that I can give to somebody else, mm-hmm. whether it's my partner or whether it's cooking for friends.
Sure.
You know? But now...
Sorry, your voice kind of got a little... I was looking to get water.
What do you think... Like, did you grow up eating food cooked with love? Like,
of
would
course,
you say that?
All the time.
Tell me about it. We're here. I got nothing else to
do. My mom's just, like, she just spent a lot of time in the kitchen. She was a full-time, like, mom. She's a stay-at-home mom. Mm. Like, her job was just nourishing the kids, keeping a clean house, and all the things that go with it. So I had a lot of home-cooked meals that were very much full of love.
Do you think that, like, really informed how you view your own cooking now, like, for other people?
No.
No?
Not really.
Now it's just, like, different generation, different time. I got stuff to do.
Yeah. Unfortunately. I mean, yeah, I wish that I had the bandwidth to, like, sit at home, chop my own greens, put it in a food processor to make it finer, fry it up, remove it from the fryer, let it cool, make a stew base, cut my meat myself, and, like, sit there for 4.5 hours and make a stew. I don't have that kind of time.
God, that sounds so awesome.
I know.
As a lifestyle.
I wish I did sometimes, but also I'm like, I'm so blessed that I get to wake up and do what I want every day and, like, not have, like, expectations at, like, my home at the same time.
Can we just turn this entire podcast into, like, advocating for more single-income households? Because, like, sure. And this is not a thing on a gender bias, because I'm trying to be the stay-at-home parent
here. You are?
Here.
Wow.
I would love to just, oh, my God, you can make your kids little bento boxes?
It's my dream, yeah.
Cut the crust off the sandwiches and carve it into, like, a shape of their favorite turtle or whatever.
Honeydew flowers.
Bread little porcupines, little hedgehogs.
Strawberry stars.
Rice balls.
You're
come
so
on.
Cute. So
all
cute.
I want to do.
Yeah.
All
Yeah, yeah,
if I could devote my entire energy, I love my job. Let's just say that.
Me too.
However, if I
don't get it twisted. Yeah, I do too.
But, like, if I could devote my entire energy
to
just the thing that I am good at, which is cooking. I'm good at throwing heavy metal balls and cooking and showing people my love through that task and skill.
Yeah.
If I could devote all of my time to just doing that for the people I care about most.
Yeah.
What a cool existence that would be.
Yeah. Some people don't like that. That's also an expectation for people, too, to always be the person to, like, give love through food is also probably quite taxing at the same time.
No, true. It sucks if you're, and especially people who, like, don't want to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I didn't grow up with a ton of food cooked with love per se, which is maybe, like, why I feel that very strongly inside myself that this is something I should give to other people.
Mm-hmm. Maybe.
But I'm trying to think of, like, moments from my childhood. One of my mom's signature dishes, we would boil cauliflower, and then you'd take a single Kraft American single, but not Kraft. It was, like, bootleg, like, Shoppers Value American single, and you would lay it over the hot cauliflower, and it would just kind of curl over the top, and then you'd eat it.
That sounds good.
Is that love?
You tell me.
Maybe.
You tell me.
But I think it's like those memories where it's like now I want to be able to, like, take that and give that to somebody else.
That makes sense.
Knowing how to speak and understand a new language can be an invaluable tool when traveling, meeting new friends, or just even to master a new skill. But it's not always simple when you're bogged down by textbooks and structure classes. That's why so many people trust Rosetta Stone. Rosetta Stone is the most trusted language learning program, available on desktop or as an app. It truly immerses you in the language you want to learn, like Spanish, French, Italian, Chinese, and more. You won't just be studying English translations. The Rosetta Stone intuitive process helps you pick up a language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/rs10. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/rs10 today.
What happens when the FDA gets involved?
Well, that's a good question.
And love is an ingredient on a prepackaged good.
Yeah, so
what do we do then?
So we're talking about the idea of, like, how people show love through food. When people very casually say the secret ingredient to my stew
love.
Is love.
Yeah.
Right? Like, obviously, there's no little sprinkle powder of love. It's probably MSG. It goes by the name of accent. Accent.
Yeah, it's called accent.
It's like they don't call it seasoning salt, like flavor enhancer.
Flavor enhancer. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It is one of the few American brands of pure MSG on the shelves today. And again, MSG, not bad for you.
Not bad for you.
I guess, like, everything eat
MSG
in moderation.
MSG is love.
Know.
I'm not even going to front.
Also, when people talk about MSG being bad for you, like, Have you heard about all the other stuff?
So many other things are bad for you too. Like, chill.
Chill. I don't know. Sugar, whatever. Didn't the FDA say it's more addictive than cocaine?
It's highly plausible.
I don't know. Anyways, actually, that was a headline that came out a while ago. That is, boy, is that really a misunderstanding of the data. But anywho, yeah, so there was a really famous case. And that was one of the things that inspired this podcast today, where there was a bakery in Massachusetts. It's called the Nashoba Brook Bakery.
Ooh, wait, what is the origin of that?
I don't know.
Nashoba?
Nashoba?
Nashoba.
Nashoba Brook. They're based in Concord, Massachusetts. Massachusetts? Maine? Concord. Where's Concord?
Something tells me Maine.
I don't know. Somewhere in New England.
Does MA mean Maine or MA mean Massachusetts?
MA is Massachusetts. So Maine is ME. Look at us remembering our second grade
education. I don't remember. Maggie had to pull it up. I'm not going to front at all.
Anyways, it was a bakery that literally listed love as an ingredient on their label. And the FDA actually had to send them a thing being like, you need
like
to reprint. Yeah, they were like, you need to reprint all these labels because love is, and there's some actual language they used. Ingredients required to be declared on the label or labeling a food must be listed by their common or usual name, love, quote unquote. I love that the FDA with a quote unquote is denouncing the idea that love might possibly even exist. Love is not a common or usual name of an ingredient and is considered to be intervening material because it is not part of the common or usual name of the ingredient. FDA, open up your heart, man.
They can't.
Let me in, FDA.
They can't.
I just want to love you. Deeply, darkly, deep. No, what's that song?
It's called Truly, Madly, Deeply by Savage Garden, I believe.
Savage Garden, please write the FDA a letter. Tell them to have love as an ingredient label. No, I'm very grateful for the fact that there are regulatory agencies that allow, that have standards.
But I think so.
I do love that this is the first time because so many companies, right, they use love as a marketing tool to be like, our crap's made with love, not like Kind Bar granola or whatever. They're not made with love. Ours
They're
is.
They're made in a factory.
Yeah. And then
like yours isn't, hater. What are you trying to say?
I know. Speaking of Kind Bar, have you had the new frozen
bars? No, but you tweeted about it and you need to bring it into the office so I can eat it.
Is
it like a Snickers bar?
It's exactly like a Snickers bar. The Snickers ice cream bars are one of the greatest confections of all time.
So good.
But like, how many times have you just wanted to casually eat one of those on a weeknight? It feels weird. Feels irresponsible as an adult.
As an adult, you can't do that.
Right?
Yeah.
But then Kind Bar comes out. This is not a sponsor. I'm just enamored with it. Because there are so few times where I see a new product and I'm like, that is good.
I want that.
That is a good product. Mm-hmm. We'll shout out the Nature Valley nut butter biscuits.
I just had one and it was fire.
Pretty fire off
there's
the
probably love in there.
Yeah, there's always definitely love in there. But the Kind Bars, they take the structure of the Snickers ice cream bar, but then it's like all made with almond and dark chocolate and like a little bit of sea salt on there.
Oh my God. Like the Häagen-Dazs ones?
Yeah. And you don't even notice that it's not like real dairy ice cream because.
It's not?
No, it's like, it's almond based.
Wow.
Yeah. Bro, you got to get on these.
Okay, I'm good.
Anyways, point is FDA officially said that love could not be used as an ingredient, which is good.
Good.
My favorite thing, this is actually something I did not know until Mindy wrote it in our research packet. Shout out, Mindy. This is something that I did not know. Also in the factory, there were, quote, remnants of pepper jack dough, which has a dairy allergen observed on the inside of the lip and outer edges of stainless steel mixing bowl for granola, and then also approximately a 1-inch long crawling insect underneath exposed ready-to-eat foods in the pastry area. I didn't know that about this bakery that used love in the ingredients.
Yeah.
So they're using love as a smokescreen to cover up the fact that they got bug infestations in their actual facility.
It's not as uncommon as you think.
No, I know.
Yeah.
I used to
You don't have to call anyone out if you don't want to.
Oh, I'll leave the name of the company disclosed, but when I worked for them, we had a little like red alert when the health inspector would come. And we just had a closet, and we'd just take all the crap that wasn't safe, and we'd throw it in the one closet, and then have someone stand guard.
Sounds accurate.
I mean, the best restaurants do this. Remember the Squirrel?
The Jam?
One of the most popular restaurants in L.A., very, very fancy, charge like $13 for a piece of toast, and it's an incredible piece of toast.
Never had the pizza toast there.
You never had the toast? You never had the toast?
I've had the toast. I've had the ricotta toast with jam.
Oh, that's never what I'm talking had about.
We called it pizza toast.
I said pizza. Like a piece of toast.
I thought you said pizza toast.
No, but that's the thing. But then they found out that this place that's charging $13 for a toast, they just had these giant buckets of jam covered in mold in their walk-in, and they were instructed to scoop off the mold. And, like, there's some, you know, debate on whether or not that's actually unsafe or not. Like, mm-hmm. apparently they had mycologists consulting, and they're like, yeah, that happens. Whatever, you scoop it off and go on. But
yeah, it's like a touchy subject for people.
Most of the time, the secret ingredient in restaurant and prepackaged foods is just that there's bug infestations and mold literally everywhere in food production because that's how it happens.
No, it happens. It happens. You can't. It's just a reality of mass produced food. Even like micro produced food, it happens sometimes.
Yeah.
You can't like blame the reality of like food. Food is gross.
Do you think companies can cook with love?
No.
No.
I think it's impossible.
You think it's solely a human to human transaction?
Yes.
In the way that like a brand can't love you on Twitter.
Well,
they can respond to you on Twitter.
Have you seen the movie Her?
No.
You haven't seen Her?
No.
Oh, so
but
let me,
I love where this is going.
Let me kind of like spoil it for you. So Joaquin Phoenix falls in love with his phone that sounds like Scarlett Johansson, but also the phone is in love with like 55 million other people or something. And so, and like, they're probably in love with the phone too, but like, that's the thing. Like, you can learn love. I don't think factories can recreate love and put it in food. I think they can recreate time. I think they can recreate processing, but I don't think they can recreate like a pinch of cinnamon that my grandma used to put in her porridge. Like, you know what I mean?
I think you can.
No.
Well, okay, hold on. If we talked about the idea of putting love in cooking as sacrifice being sort of the essence of love, right?
Mm-hmm.
Taking time away from you that you could be doing something else and mm-hmm. trying to give that joy to somebody else. What if that's like one of these companies where the CEO No, this isn't going anywhere, but I'll keep going with it. Where the CEO, they're taking a monetary hit, Nicole.
Oh, no.
Because, oh, you, well, hold on. They're like, hey.
$17,000
hey,
gone?
If we don't wash the oats, if you spend an extra $30 million a year washing 8 trillion tons of oats, then we know that this product is going to be 2% better. And we know that the returns aren't going to hit us. We know that we're taking a hit by washing the oats. I don't know what recipe they're washing oats for, but just play along here.
Mm-hmm.
And the company, like, deliberately not making as much money as they could because they want to make their food with love. That's like a sacrifice just on a corporate scale.
Well, why are you equating why are you equating monetary loss to, like, sacrifice of time?
Well, because, I mean, that's, you know, extra time for they got to spend to wash
Josh,
the oats.
Love is special. Love is sacred. Love is different on a case-to-case basis.
Yeah, and the brands will never love you.
Brands will never love you. No, like, I don't think, like, corporations can recreate food made with love. I think they can recreate food made with sustenance and delicious flavors. And being able to replicate, that's really cool. But I don't think that equates love at all.
Yeah.
I just don't. Sorry. Your point is moot. That's from the song Jesse's Girl.
They say your point is moot in that?
Yeah. Remember that one time we did a GMM episode about how we cooked with love?
Yeah. Did we find anything?
No.
Out in that episode?
No.
Yeah. Well, that's a whole... People don't... Doing a real scientific study is a lot more difficult to do, like, in the middle of a YouTube show, you know, than it is, say,
Why
like, in a laboratory.
Mean?
Well, I'm saying, you know, like, there are certain... We do the best we can... But, you know, I don't know if, like, Trevor wanted to make sexy time with that apple pie and me.
Of course he did.
You know, quoting the Cure lyrics to it. There's someone who I've watched cook who I think really exemplifies the idea of, like, putting love into your food. And if we're talking about love in those, like, unseen moments
mm-hmm.
where you're doing the extra things, adding the extra time into your food, even though, say, science couldn't necessarily explain that. Right. What's that quote from the movie Thor that is actually a quote from history?
Never seen Thor.
Magic is just science that hasn't been explained yet.
Uh-huh.
Natalie Portman says it. And speaking of love.
Love Natalie Portman.
What a career she's had.
She's like really smart. Did you know that?
Yeah, she went to Harvard. She went to Harvard while they were filming Star Wars Episode One. Anyways, the point is I think love in cooking is like the science that hasn't been explained yet of cooking. Anyway, because
okay.
people talk about cooking as chemistry, and it's like, yeah, everything's chemistry. Me, the voice you're hearing right now is happening because of chemical reactions. But there's an intangible, of course. That's it. That's all
there's
the world.
There's a chemical
just interactions
that makes you
of,
talk. I think it's like vocal.
Well, it's a combination of.
Josh, I think it's more like motor skills. And like,
no, it's the chemical synapses that are firing in your brains are right. happening. You know, there's
yeah,
one.
I guess.
Anyways, point is, I think cooking, it's of course chemistry, but it's also there's a lot of unexplained sort of chemistry going on in a lot of things. I remember watching Korean chef Jong Kwon cook. She is a Buddhist monk who cooks, you know, vegan food according to this Korean Buddhist diet.
Cool.
And I watched a video of her making, it was actually with Chef Eric Repair, of making this braised mushroom dish.
Wow.
And every single ingredient that she had was like, this is from a 300-year-old tree. The ginkgo nuts that she was using was from a 300-year-old tree. And Eric Repair tastes the salt and he was like, what is this? I never had salt like this. And he goes, oh, it's like a 5-year age salt. And he's like, why do you age the salt? And she's like, if you age the salt, it draws out the impurities and then also it removes some of the bitterness. And like, I don't know if you could actually measure that with the speculum or whatever the... Is that a very...
A speculum is used in OBGYN.
Wait, hold on.
No. And stuff.
Yeah, but what was I thinking of? Spectrometer? Oh, God. Oh, no. I meant spectrometer. What's a spectrometer? Maggie, look up spectrometer. Not speculum. It's like when you mix up kabuki and the other word. Spectrometer. I don't know if you can... I don't know if you can measure the impurities with a spectrometer or speculum or whatever other tool you want to use. Mm-hmm. But every single thing she does, there's like, you know, an extra 12 steps that I would never think about. But it's learned, you know, through one, she believes cooking is an act of meditation.
That's very nice. Wow, what a pleasure it must be.
Right?
To think of food as meditation.
Oh my God, yeah. Instead of just it being your daily dose of stress.
It's not stress. It's just like, it's nice to know that she's taken something that is so necessary for life. That's like saying drinking water is meditation.
Well, I'm a white guy who's going to talk about what Zen Buddhism is. Welcome to California. But no, I took one class in college about the history of Zen Buddhism.
That's cool.
It's really fascinating. And apparently that was a really big thing. It was like literally meditating while doing simple tasks, like sweeping a floor. Cleaning and prepping leaks was a big one, which is why I want to get the leak tattoo on my arm.
Do you know that I'm obsessed with teaching about people how to clean leaks?
Really?
Oh my God. I like talk to Trevor and V all the time. Like, these are so dirty. This is the best way to clean them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's a big thing. There was a Buddhist teacher that like believed in cleaning leaks as like the best form of meditation.
Nice.
Stuff like that. So that's a big thing. But I think, you know, it's those unseen steps. The things that you are sacrificing for, you know, that you can put in your food that really is a form of love.
I think you're right.
Do you wake up in a cold sweat from your work dreams?
Have a coworker who keeps inviting you to do escape rooms?
Can't get a coworker to agree to do escape rooms?
Or are you just genuinely not sure how to take the next step in your career?
I'm Kate.
And I'm Kim. And together we run Amy Poehler's company, Paper Kite Productions.
We've been friends and colleagues for years, so we know how important it is to feel like someone has your back at work.
And we want to be that for you.
So we're hosting a weekly advice show where we answer all your work-related questions.
Something amazing happened. I got offered my dream job.
How am I supposed to bring this up to him without hurting his feelings? What should I do?
I want to like skip the pleasantries without being an asshole.
Careful, money and friends, they don't mix, babes.
They don't. And don't work with your friends, make your friends at work.
All right, I can't believe I'm going to say this, but that was actually $1 million advice.
Whether you need advice or just love to listen to other people's problems, this show is for you.
Listen and follow Million Dollar Advice, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, Nicole, I've heard what you and I have to say. Now it's time to find out what other wacky ideas are rattling out there in the Twitterverse. It's time for a segment we call
Opinions Are Like Casserole.
First up, we got a guy and babies. You got a bunch of babies running this Instagram account?
He's a guy with a bunch of babies.
Kids shouldn't have Instagram until they're at least 3. If you make something and it's not as good as you hoped, make sauce / dressing and hide it.
Josh literally says he does this.
Just talk. Yeah, you don't do that?
I try not to.
Why?
I don't know.
Don't own your mistakes. Lie about it.
I know. I know.
I do that. Yeah, I do this all the time. You know what the single best ingredient you can keep in your pantry or fridges?
Yes.
What?
Jar salsa.
Heck yeah, it is. I don't feel like people know it enough as like an ingredient to add to things. I think it's just a condiment to dip chips in.
Mine's hummus.
You're just saucing it up with hummus?
I always got a lot of... No, I don't do this. I'm just saying the one thing I always have in my fridge is...
Dip it in hummus?
Hummus.
Brush your teeth with hummus? Zohan style?
Stop. So embarrassing.
Yeah, this is true. When in doubt, ranch it up, baby.
And pass with the Q instead of an A says, mayonnaise is gross and doesn't belong on anything unless as a butter substitute. I like mayonnaise. What are you talking about?
Yeah, this is a very common opinion. Not to shame this empath. Also, for an empath, like...
You're not being empathetic to the mayonnaise-loving community.
I'm just curious about how special butter is to you that you think mayonnaise is gross, doesn't belong on anything unless... It's a butter substitute. What are the things you're substituting?
Grilled cheese sandwiches.
Yeah, like I've...
That's it.
I remember going to a fancy restaurant when I was like 18. It was the first time I took.
Which one?
It was called Te Amo Ristorante in Laguna Beach.
Ooh,
I took my high school girlfriend
Laguna.
There. And I spent like 3 weeks worth of, you know, like
Cold
camp
Stone
counseling.
Oh,
she had Cold Stone money. I had camp counseling money.
Oh, nice.
Which is to say, like, not enough to cover the gas in my 95 Ford Taurus. But I, like, you know, dropped all the money I had on that dinner. And they served grissini.
You know, I know what that
is. Bread stickies?
Yes.
Instead of butter, mayonnaise. Dipping breadsticks in mayonnaise,
and
right? Right
it?
There on the beach. And I loved it. She
nice.
Was weirded out by it. But I kind of dig using mayonnaise instead of butter on like most things.
What
I don't
is,
love butter that much.
What is whipped butter if not mayonnaise?
Yeah, yeah, fair enough.
Whipped butter is literally
just cow. It's cow mayonnaise.
Yeah.
A lot of people think mayonnaise is dairy. Ain't got nothing to do with dairy.
I sometimes used to think that
yeah.
when I was younger.
Why are eggs kept in the dairy section?
That's a great question. I don't have the answer. You should ask people that own Ralph's.
They're kind of like Kroger.
Ask Ralph.
Kroger.
Ask Ralph.
Why? People think eggs are dairy. It's weird.
People think eggs are dairy?
Well, yeah.
Just because they're in the dairy section?
I feel like that's a Twitter poll worth asking. Is eggs dairy?
Eggs are not dairy. Because
of course they're
not,
but I feel like people think they are.
No, they don't.
It's like how they think that normal milk is vanilla because chocolate milk is chocolate.
Josh, you just have past trauma about that, and I'm sorry.
Oh, that makes sense. That makes sense. All right, next one up. We got @Emmeline_P. Cottage cheese and applesauce was the best snack of my childhood.
Did you grow up in a retirement home?
No. Hold on. One, we don't know what era they are, but how many, like, boomer to Gen X parents... I grew up with cottage cheese.
I did too.
My mom was trying to lose weight in the 80s.
The Knudsen's with the pineapple on the
Yeah. And so this is a very common. I take a little bit of jam, throw that on some cottage cheese, and just eat it. And now I haven't stocked cottage cheese in my own fridge ever as an adult.
Me either.
I don't like dislike it. I just, when am I going to eat cottage cheese? I'd rather have the yogurt than that.
I've started getting more into Greek yogurt. Like I try to eat at least a Greek yogurt a day because it has such good probiotics.
Oh my God.
I've started doing what?
Dude, when we have kids, they're going to be recording the same podcast. And they'll be like, Greek yogurt and like, honey, what did you grow up in a retirement home?
Do you think our kids are going to continue the legacy of our pod?
Of course. Well, I don't know. I mean, like, inshallah. But, you know, but no, like everything's cyclical in terms of diet, right?
Yeah.
Greek yogurt is for sure the stupid thing that we eat that our kids are going to go, you're so stupid for eating that.
But it's not like a diet thing. It's just good probiotic.
It's a diet thing for me.
Well, it is for you, yeah.
I mean, not like a diet thing, but it's got like 20 grams of protein in 3/4 of a cup. Like, of course, I'm just going to add that to my random chicken cabbage mixture.
Chandler Q02 says foods that taste like chicken is in quotes have zero right to be prepared if chicken exists / is made poorly. So this is like fake chicken. Like, have you ever been to like a vegan restaurant and they have like a faux chicken on the menu?
Yeah, it's great.
Yeah, I don't love it.
Why?
It
tastes just like chicken.
It's kind of spongy.
Yeah, but like some of my favorite chicken's spongy.
Yeah, but that's
you love
thing.
McNuggets.
Oh, I love
you,
McNuggets.
You think you couldn't make a perfect vegan McNugget substitute?
I could try.
Beyond's doing it right now. Or maybe it's impossible. One of them. Those companies wouldn't like that I'm getting it mixed up, but screw it.
Okay.
One of them is at Panda right now, and they do a vegan orange chicken that is fan-freaking-tastic.
Wow, really?
Yeah.
Good for them.
Yo, should we order Panda for lunch? They got
you
a new
want.
Almond chicken that I want to try.
Yeah, you told me about this almond chicken
like
15 times.
Yeah, I'm pretty high on this almond chicken. I know what it's going
to
taste like.
I want you to taste it.
It's going to be sweet. It's going to have some almonds on it, and I'm going to love it.
I think it's going to be marzipan-y.
Really?
Like melted marzipan, and that doesn't do anything for me.
I'm not opposed. Not opposed. All right, we got @KaylaBug8. Ground meat, especially ground beef, is disgusting. The texture is repulsive, and the taste is too. I think people get a lot of bummy ground beef.
Yeah.
I mean, I eat one of my most common meats to be eaten, and I kind of recognize it as a little bit disgusting, are the 3-pound bricks of ground turkey.
The Jenny O ones?
Yeah, let's not name a brand, but, like, probably.
Sorry.
No, I mean, Jenny O, come sponsor our Thanksgiving episode. It's disgusting, and I love it. But it's, like, wet and gray. You know what I mean? And I just eat this wet, gray ground meat. And it doesn't even have, like, texture to it, almost.
You can give it texture. I've cooked with it, too.
You gotta, like, really cook it hard.
You gotta cook it hard.
Why is it so wet?
I don't know.
It's so wet.
But it's good for you.
And it comes out in like lines. It looks like spaghetti in the package.
I like, oh my God. I like, there was like this whole thing where like I was a food stylist and I like got into fights with the director because they're like, take the ground meat and shape it into a ball in a bowl to, so the lines don't show. But I'm like, the lines are cool. That's how you know it's ground meat. And they're like, no. And I'm like, no.
I think I agree with you though. It's like, that's what, if you were to draw ground meat in a cartoon.
Yeah.
Like that's what it would look like.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what I try to explain.
I support you in that entirely.
Thank you. I don't work there anymore, so it doesn't matter.
I also see how people would find like industrial ground meat a little bit disturbing, especially like if you grew up in a household that didn't eat a ton of meat and you see that. Like, this was once an animal that's pretty wild.
Yeah, it is.
That said, a good like, you ever see how they make like Japanese, not tsukemen, what's the other one? Tsukune. Tsukune, not tsukemen. Well, they'll like hand chop the meat.
That's good.
Which is fun.
I like
a lot
really
more texture.
Like every time, like I go to like a good butcher and I see that like big die cut, like ground
coarse.
Meat, coarse, yeah,
coarse
beautiful,
ground meat. Oh.
And you can see the pebbles of the white fat with like this beautiful like red and sometimes like ruddy red.
Oh,
it's
we got that ground beef from a local butcher called Gwen that owned by Curtis Stone,
friend of the show. I've always wanted to say that.
Curtis, ground beef was the best. We have friends of the show now. If you go on Spotify, it shows who the guests have been. It's pretty rad.
I know.
I'm so proud of this.
Okay. Elizabeth_Sasha says, stale Doritos actually slap. So I have a friend who loves stale Cheetos.
Is it Elizabeth Sasha?
No.
No.
Maybe. Elizabeth, are we friends? And they love stale Cheetos, but stale Doritos. I don't like stale chips. Some people love stale chips. I'm not about that life.
No, I like stale Peeps. I like stale store-bought sheet cake.
Uh-huh.
I ate a bunch of stale graham crackers last night. I enjoyed that. It gets soft.
Stale graham crackers are
yeah,
good.
Yeah, it gets nice and cakey.
I like that.
Stale caramel corn's great because it hardens the caramel even further.
That's not good for the soft teeth community.
No, it's not, but we thrive on, okay? We're allowed our indulgences. Sometimes you got to take a risk. You know, I ate a gummy candy the other day.
Wow.
Chewed it very carefully.
I'm sure you did.
But anywho.
You chewed in the front like this.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Uh-huh, uh-huh, yeah. Uh-huh. No loose crowns in the front, baby. No loose crowns in the front. Stale Doritos, though, it's not my particular jam. It's just the crispness of a Dorito is the most pleasant chip texture of all the chip textures.
Uh-huh. Oh.
You know?
Well,
and so I think sacrificing that is rough.
I like ridges.
You like ridges, ruffles, with ridges.
I like the extra thick ruffles.
Oh.
You remember that one time?
Dude, it looks like aluminum sheeting.
It's amazing.
Oh my God.
The really crazy ruffles, it looks like.
It's like jagged.
It's amazing. And it's
like
the
you
Buffalo
get tetanus
Ranch.
From it.
It's so good. And then it's the Buffalo Ranch flavor. Those were the best
it
chips I've had
so
in a long time.
It holds so much powder in that aluminum siding.
Dude,
freaking ridges.
I am gleeking.
I haven't heard the term gleeking.
I am going to gleek right now.
Oh, wait, hold on. This next one's exciting to me. We got at Mr.Durton, melted cheese on toast with curry powder is God-tier breakfast, and you can't change my mind.
Mm.
Heck yes. Something special happened. Okay, so
is this chaat?
Is this chaat? Yeah, this is toast chaat. Speaking of classic Indian cookery, right, there's a method of making a tadka or tarka.
Yeah.
Where you express the oils and the spices.
Sure.
You're making a bootleg version of this. When you melt the cheese with the curry powder, then you get the expression of the oil, of the hot oil from the cheese on the curry powder that's like elevating it up just
smart.
A little bit more. Like it's a janky bootleg version. It's not a tarka by any means, but heck, if it doesn't make the curry powder that
it
you're getting
like
from McCormick's taste better. And I agree
Very
with
nice.
This. I've done this before, and that is a delight.
I've never had the wonderful, I already know it's a wonderful combination of cheese and curry powder, but I'm going to very soon, and I'm very excited about that. Sam.Kube says, chocolate ice cream is the worst ice cream. It's usually bitter and tastes like a shovel full of cocoa powder.
Preach.
I'm not the biggest chocolate ice cream fan either. I do love a good rocky road. I do love a good malted crunch from Rite Aid /50s. But yeah, I like vanilla ice cream. I like vanilla-based ice cream. I like strawberry. I like mint chip. I like cookie dough. But I don't necessarily love chocolate ice cream.
Are there chocolate ice creams that you do love? I mean, chocolate malted crunch from
that
Thrifty.
One.
That's
that one.
What a treat of an ice cream that is. That's,
I like rocky road.
That could compete. If you put chocolate malted crunch in a Jenny's or what's the other one? Talenti gelato. Like one of the fancy $9 pint ones.
Yeah.
No one would know the difference. They'd just be like, this is one of the best ice creams I've ever had.
Malted chocolate is a wonderful flavor.
Yes.
Malt chocolate rocks.
Malt is the MSG of desserts.
I love malt. I love malt.
There are some chocolate ice creams. Like, I think you got to go. I don't really love dark chocolate that much, especially if it's in a dessert where it's like, I'm here for something sweet. I'm trying to end my night. Give me something pleasant. I don't want to.
I love
think
dark
about
chocolate
it.
Desserts, though.
But occasionally, like a dark chocolate sorbet.
I was going to say dark chocolate sorbet.
Chocolate sorbet is a trip because you don't get the kind of like dairy distracting you from
That's
the
true.
Chocolate.
That's true.
Just pure, just ice chocolate and whatever, like almond, whatever you're putting in it.
Mm-hmm.
Non-dairy chocolate works almost better for me than chocolate ice cream.
Nice.
Yeah. Okay, we got at ratchet underscore rach 27. If a hot dog is a sandwich, which it may or may not be, is the banana that I stick in a slice of bread with peanut butter a sandwich? Of course.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're making a peanut butter and banana sandwich, one of the greatest sandwiches of all time. Even if you're not slicing up the banana, you're folding the bread around it. That's the same as a hot dog bun. Yeah, of course it's a sandwich.
This is an ice cream.
What?
This is ice cream. Oh, I thought they said the banana's on a stick.
No.
I don't know how to read. Never mind. Yeah, this is a sandwich.
No, this is probably my breakfast on like 30% of days.
Yeah, you eat a lot of this.
Yeah. I take a single slice of bread and I put the banana in it so you can fold the corners of the bread together at the top.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. That's nice. Thank you for showing me with your hands.
I'm showing Nicole with my hands like a steeple.
You know what?
Because you could do it so you fold it down the rectangle, but no, I make it like a triangle.
Mm-hmm. Because
then you get to hold it at the top.
That makes so much sense.
Uh-huh.
You know what I like to do? I like to go, so I don't like to do this. I like to take my banana and I take a chopstick and I carve out a trough.
Oh.
And then I put banana, I put either Nutella or peanut butter in the trough and then I feed it to people. And then I take the chopstick and I cut it up and I feed it to people.
And that's what,
that's love.
And that's love. That's love, baby. Banana trough. Banana trough. That's the essence of
ring,
love,
ring,
I think.
Ring, banana trough.
God dang it.
Oh, man. At Aman Navid says, protein powder tastes like chalk, but I still eat it for the macros, lol.
I feel like he was probably addressing this to me, Nicole.
Yeah,
unless you
is
want
that
to take
true?
It.
No, it was to my IG story.
Okay, you got it. You got it. You got it.
I don't do this.
Nicole, what's your macro breakdown, right?
You going
like a 40-30-30 or like what's your split?
What do I look
what's your
like?
Split? Do you do 1 gram protein per pound of body weight? Like,
I
what's
do.
Your split?
If I did that, I would be
do
very
do you carb
full.
Cycle or not? Do you carb cycle, bro?
I don't do anything. I just see food and I eat it. Literally.
I think I said a joke once. It was like, I'm on the seafood diet. They're like, I get it. You see, it was like, no, I eat scallops till I throw up.
That's a good joke.
I don't track macros. I eat a ton of protein powder, and if you like trick yourself enough, like I drink a thing most nights.
Trick yourself.
Yeah, I feel like if you retrain your body, like when you were young, you didn't like black coffee. You know, you probably didn't like the first sip of beer that you had, but you trick yourself over a long period of time into thinking that it tastes good, even though it's poison for your body, much like protein powder. And so eventually you'll get to a point where, like me, you can toss banana, ice, protein powder, and a tiny bit of peanut butter into a blender, and then with a little bit of dark cocoa powder in it, a little bit of cinnamon.
Did you say date?
What?
Throw a date in there.
Yeah, throw a date in there.
What are you doing?
I use prunes. And it tastes like a milkshake. And so I think with the right, I think people who are just slamming pure protein powder with water or milk, it's not great. But honestly, protein powder, I get the chocolate malt flavored protein powder. Got actual malt powder in there.
Smart.
Ice, banana, blended up, you know, maybe a little bit of milk, a little bit of water to thin it out. And that's a treat every night. I really enjoy it.
I'm happy for
you.
Yeah,
I start tricking Julia into drinking it too, getting her yoked. That's love. Trickery. Tricking people into getting yoked.
Oh, yes, yes. A lot of people ask me, did you trick David? I'm like, no, he tricked me.
All right, we got M. Jade McD. Tahina belongs on every food.
Not every food.
You know what I did last night?
I do like it, though.
I love tahini, and I think it should be used in a lot of things. I'll make like a little tahini ranch. Pop that on like a nice salad, dude.
That sounds good.
I made like a kind of like, it was like a very American fried chicken fattoush. Made a tahini ranch. Yeah. And I did something yesterday that was really disgusting to the point where I had to kind of revamp the dish. I like to eat strawberries, a little bit of whipped cream, and some graham cracker on top. And the other day.
Sounds sexy.
Oh my God, it's so sexy. Julie and I, we ate it while playing Scrabble by candlelight when the power was
That's
out
so
last
cute.
Night. And that's sexy when she beat me in Scrabble by 120 points. Two times used all seven letters.
Good for
that's
her.
That's the game right there.
She's awesome.
I had a couple 66 point plays on triple word score. I was pretty proud of that. You know?
Okay.
You know, hit the S runner on invalids. It's pretty solid.
You seem really proud of yourself.
Yeah, you know?
I'm happy for you.
It was a big play. It was a big play for me. Anyways, point is I put tahini on strawberries with whipped cream, and it was like really bad.
Oh, because tahini is very bitter.
Tahini straight is really, you almost can't eat it straight with
you
like
anything.
You need
to prepare it properly.
Yeah.
Whatever that means.
But like tahini preparada, as I would call it in Spanish, is like, yeah, you know, the water, the garlic, the lemon juice, the salt, maybe yogurt. Some people do that.
Water's the important ingredient. Yeah. A lot of people don't know
it
water.
It thins it, it mellows it, and it combines with the fat in a way that still makes it like nice and thick.
Correct.
Yeah. But what's the sweet version of that? You see, like, water and
sugar.
A little bit of powdered sugar?
Sugar.
I could have.
Yeah, dude, are you kidding me? Tahini. Oh, my God. Tahini and, like, desserts is, like, very good. Just by halva.
Well, I didn't have halva. I had tahini.
Josh!
It wasn't, like, a premeditated thing. My God. Anyways, on that note, thank you for listening to A Hot Dog is a Sandwich. I love how we precursored this with Nicole yelling at me.
I know.
If you want to hear more from us here in the Mythical Kitchen, we got new episodes for you every Wednesday.
If you want to be featured on Opinions Are Like Casseroles, you can hit us up on Twitter at Mythical Chef or @Hendizada with the hashtag Opinion Casserole.
And for more Mythical Kitchen, check us out on YouTube where we launch new videos every week.
And of course, if you want to share pictures of your dishes, hit us up on Instagram at Mythical Kitchen.
See you next time.